my man. How's it going?
It's going well, man.
All right, all right. We're continuing on with our series of family dynamics, and today we're talking about broken relationships.
Oh, boy.
This is a big one, man. This is something where, you know, there's so many different kinds of relationships and so many levels of closeness for that. And one thing that's for sure, if you care about a relationship and something happens where it gets jacked up, it ends up being a really hard place to be. Mm-hmm. So we want to start talking about what I think is the closest relationship that we have as men, and that is our marriage, outside of our relationship with God, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And so I want to just start by asking you, like, tell me about your marriage. Like, how long you guys been married, and what's going on with that?
So I met my wife, Jenny, at Lancaster Bible College, and we've been married for almost 10 years. It'll be 10 years on June 21st.
A decade.
Yeah. That actually feels wild, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, we've had ups and downs in there. We always joke about how there's been like several different versions of our marriage. Mm. Does that make sense to you? Like,
I know seasons.
Yeah. You like resonate with that? Mm-hmm. Cause yeah, we can look back on our lives and we're like, whoa, there's like such clear, like our marriage was like this then, it's like this then, now it's kind of this way. But man, like we are really loving life right now. Mm-hmm. We've gone through some rocky seasons like you do. And right. You know, just, I'm so thankful for Jenny. She's awesome. And definitely much better than me. So that's great.
Well, then you're set up for success.
Dude, for sure. If you want to be set up for success, make sure you marry up. That's a good plan.
There you go. Well, one of the best ways to avoid a broken relationship is to not let it get there.
Yeah, yeah.
So what are some things that you and Jenny do to kind of keep things fresh, new, whatever?
Dude, it's funny, man. A huge thing in our relationship in the last 2 years, I'll say. I would say the last 2 years of our relationship have probably been some of the best. And one of the things we started doing is we started reading the Bible together. Like, I don't want to sound necessarily like a broken record just for the sake of sounding like a broken record, but we've been talking about this across the series. And I shared that verse, like the fear of the Lord is the foundation of all wisdom, of all knowledge. Mm-hmm. It's so true. Like, we started reading the Bible together. We had a season of life where we like intentionally prayed together for a long time. We don't necessarily do that all the time anymore. It's not that we don't pray together. it has changed our relationship. It would be cool if I could point to like, well, we did this and this and this.
Yeah.
But really, like, that is what made a huge difference, because each of us are trying to honor Jesus with our lives, and that strengthens our marriage, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Mary and I have been together for like 25 years now.
Okay.
So like, fresh and new is like a bit of a challenge sometimes.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, sometimes we are on different wavelengths and it feels like we're broken, even though it's just like a temporary small thing. But why do you think some people have a tendency to sort of drift in their marriage and not have intentionality in some of those kind of things?
I can think like the worst time in our marriage was probably like 3-ish, 4 years ago. It was really difficult, actually. And I think the big thing is that we kind of both took our eyes off the ball, like both of us. And we recognize that now. I think back then we probably would have pointed fingers and been like, well, it was more you, it was more me. Like, and we just both weren't focused on it. And the big thing was, we were both very career focused and we both like were overcommitted to our careers, if that makes sense. Like, it's not bad to want to be successful in your job. That's not a negative thing,
right.
But we didn't have like boundaries around anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like we had set out to do that. It was that we just got in a habit of never saying no. So she was a full-time teacher in a local public school. And if you know any teachers, like, they are incredible saintly people, because the job is insane.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard. And so she would teach all day. She'd come home and prep, you know, sometimes all night, and get up and go do it again.
Yeah.
And I was a youth pastor at the time. And so like, if it was youth pastors have nights out, they have weekends out. Like, it wasn't odd for us to just be passing each other.
Mm.
And it happened often.
Yeah.
And I think as our relationship like slowly broke down, like, we just had no common ground at all. And then when we would have a fight, like, they would be crazy. Like, they would be really bad fights.
Yeah.
Because we just weren't even living in the same lives.
Right.
So we're really detached. So I think the more you can keep your eyes focused on Jesus and keep your eyes focused on your marriage, it's going to be really helpful.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly like Mary and I had this one period of time where like, it was bad, dude. Like,
yeah,
like I literally moved out of the house and basically told her that like only a miracle could save our marriage. Like we were having some really, like every time we talked, it ended up being this drag out, like crazy, crazy fights and stuff. And I remember just being like, man, this sucks. I don't want anything to do with this. And feeling like the easiest thing to do would be run away. And so my first step was moving out. And, you know, they say that there's this, that line, that there's a thin line between love and hate. Dude, like I experienced it. I definitely saw like us shift into a place where we were against each other instead of for each other. And we didn't really know if we could fight back in that and try to make things work. We didn't know if we even wanted to do that, like not wanting to put in the effort.
Yeah.
Thankfully we had someone who, gave us a Christian marriage counselor. Yep. And we decided to give it a try. But if I can be honest with you, I didn't think that it was going to work. I was like, if we can't fix our marriage, no one can. And we really got so closed-minded about what role God could play in it. And we, you know, at the end of the day, we ended up putting some effort in, trying to start doing things, you know, implementing some things like you had sort of mentioned too, where we started to pray for each other and we started to pray with each other and maybe read scripture together. And it was a long, hard road from there because we broke trust. We broke all kinds of things in that whole thing. You know, when you're at a point where you basically feel anger towards a person just by their name, like there's things that need repaired in that. And it was a long, hard road, but I really think that God blessed the work and the intentionality we put in to get him back to the center of it. So I would love to just hear like a little bit about like, you know, we talked a little bit about what putting God at the center looks yeah. like. How do you do that? Like, how do you do it if you're not doing it right at the time?
I think in my experience, first of all, like one of the things you highlighted is get help.
Mm-hmm.
And like, don't be afraid of that.
Yeah.
I actually remember like my wife at one point, she's like, we need help. We have to talk to, actually, she was like, I'm scheduling something. And I was like, don't you dare.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting. It was like my own pride that was in the way.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was like, well, I was working for the church and she wanted to get help from somebody who worked at the church
yeah.
that focused on marriages. So in my mind, honestly, it was like, oh man, like people are going to think I'm a bad guy. Well, the reality was I was a bad guy.
Right,
so like,
right.
Yeah. Like own up to it
mm-hmm.
and get some help. And it actually, you know what? Like it wasn't embarrassing. Like they were so great. They were so yeah. helpful. It helped. I don't know. Like it helped get some neutral ground, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like when you're like opposed to each other, there is no neutral ground.
Yeah. And it's tension.
You get into this like weird, like trying to get a one up in a conversation, mm-hmm. which is not a good way to handle things, but
right.
that's what we were doing.
Yeah.
We were too. So getting help was huge. Taking steps when it doesn't feel right.
Oh, so, that's a good
so
one.
So like when you, like you're actively fighting with each other a lot, your home is like hostile
mm-hmm.
and your people that are helping you are saying, you know what? Like, I think you should pray together. That's not what you want to do.
Right.
Like it's really hard to go from like throwing stuff to like holding hands and praying on the couch. You know
exactly,
what I mean? Like
it just
doesn't make sense.
Right. Right.
Give it a shot. And do your best to like make it successful, if that makes sense. It's pretty hard,
mm-hmm.
especially if that hostility is still there. But stay accountable to whoever's helping you and stay accountable to the process.
Yeah.
Because that is one of the things we started to do. We started to pray together and it like, I did not want to do it. And like the initial process was like, it's actually really hard to focus on God when I'm like, I really still don't like you. Like, I really yeah. still don't like how you handled that situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I think about is, you know, if you are in that place of brokenness, you might feel like you're hopeless.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like you don't think that anything can fix anything. But let me just remind you that God knows who you are.
Mm-hmm.
He calls you his son. He loves you and will come to you in your mess. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get your crap straightened up. You just go to him and he'll be there. And that's one of the things I think is so powerful, is like whenever we have those kind of places of hopelessness, there is potential for restoration because God loves you that much. Mm-hmm. That's what he did in restoring our relationship with him.
Dude, I know one of the huge things I had to do is like force myself to be humble. Mm. And I did not want to do it.
Oh yeah.
And so it's like, okay, like if we want to try to make our marriage healthier, if we want God to be at the center of it, then I have to be willing to do what God says. Mm-hmm. And like, I have to do it. Like, it's easy to read the passages and be like, well, she should be doing this. I'm like, yeah. Well, nothing's going to change if that's your perspective.
Yeah.
And so one of the hard things I had to do is like, okay, like, am I loving my wife like Christ loves the church? 100% no. Am I serving her together as a mutual partner that has a different role than me but has equal value to me? 100% no. So it was like, well, I guess I'm going to fold laundry even though I'm really angry.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you're almost like, like, fine. Yeah. But you got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's going to do a work in your heart, and you can hope and trust and pray that God's going to do a work in her heart.
Yeah.
And draw you back together.
Yeah, yeah. That's so good, man. And you know, this is all sort of around that marriage relationship. Yeah. But I know you told me a story about a different kind of relationship.
Oh, my goodness.
With that guy in the youth camp.
So obviously, we're talking about family. And I guess it's easy to focus on marriage because there's always a lot of tension in marriage. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of tension in other relationships.
Yeah.
And last episode, we talked about fathers and sons, essentially fathers and daughters, like not siblings, but kids, mm-hmm. like raising your kids. There can be a lot of tension in those relationships.
For sure.
And so I got to know this guy. I worked at a camp right out of high school that was for kids that were in like serious trouble. Like sometimes I say like I worked at a youth camp and it's like, oh, that's awesome. It's like, no, that's not what our youth camp was like. Mm-hmm. This was like, you could go to prison or you could come to us. Yeah. Like you go to juvie or you could come to camp. So naturally when you get in front of a judge, a kid is like, well, camp sounds good. Mm-hmm. And our whole thing was working out problems and pursuing restoration and like putting the time in to do it. So it was, mm-hmm. it's hard work. But it's where I saw like Jesus work in incredible ways. So we had this dad, and his family was like incredibly stressed because they had adopted a son, and the son came in and just did like really rough things and essentially like exploded the family because of what was going on. And so they came to the point where it was like, you know what? Like, you can't live in this home anymore. And so he ended up coming to camp, and the dad was incredible. Like, you talk about somebody whose hope was in Christ. No question. Like, this guy had every reason. If I gave you the list of things that had happened in his home, you'd be like, okay, that makes sense. Like, well, he doesn't have to pursue this kid anymore. Mm-hmm. That dad called us every week. He's like, hey, I've been praying for my son. Has he accepted Christ yet? Has his life changed yet? And we're always like, no, dude, like, it's horrible. Like, he's not doing well. Yeah. And honestly, like, I'm like 19, I'm 20. I'm like, this kid is not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Every week that dad's calling in.
Jeez.
I bet for like a year and a half. Every week.
Oh my God.
Has it happened? And the kids lived with us. They got to go home every 6 weeks. So every week he's calling, want to know how his son's doing. One night we have like this explosive fight in our group. We had 12 kids. They fought a lot. This thing was insane. And this kid, through working through all the issues, is like, you know what? Like, I think I really need Jesus in my life.
Oh my word.
And it was like, what are you talking about? Like, what? And he's like, yeah, like I need to give my life to Christ. Which is like, God totally set that up.
Yeah.
There was no explanation for any of it. So he accepts Christ. Not only does he accept Christ, he starts to recognize like, I need to change this. I need to do this. He goes on like this pattern of like seeking forgiveness in our group. He's recognized when he did wrong. Like, it was real life change. Because sometimes kids would accept Christ and we'd be like, well, maybe he just needs to do it like one or two more times before it takes. Right.
Maybe he needs baptized too.
So that night we call the dad and we're like, you're not going to believe this. Like, it happened. Like, he accepted Christ. He seems very genuine. Mm. He was not surprised at all. He's like, I've been praying for it. I knew it was going to happen.
That's
so
amazing.
We put the kids to bed. We would wake up at like 6 o'clock in the morning or something. So we would always get up early, get ready to get the kids ready. We hear these steps like running down the trail. The kids aren't even awake yet. It's this dad. Mm. Like, we called him the night before. He lived an hour away. He drove there early in the morning. He came down to the camp. He's like, I want to see my son. And so he like ran to the tent. He gives him the biggest hug and he's like, I love you. I forgive you. I believe you're a new life created in Christ. It was so powerful. Man. And you talk about reconciliation, dude. Like, it was there. We saw it. And it was because that dad just kept, I mean, one, it's because of the love of Christ, man. Like, Jesus is so amazing. God gives us so much grace and so much mercy. But that dad faithfully praying when he had no evidence that anything would change.
Yeah.
And believing that it would. And when it finally did, he showed up immediately. Like, he, you know, there was no keeping him back. He wasn't going to wait.
Yeah.
And I can still see him, man, giving that kid a hug. Kid's bawling, dad's bawling. And like, he's a different person. He's a completely different person.
I mean, just hearing the story gives me goosebumps. You know, and where we're going really with this to kind of start to conclude is, you know, there are really a potential for despair and getting stuck in that broken relationship, whatever relationship it is. But on the other side of, you know, really trying to fix or work through or learn or grow, we want to just give you a few practical steps that maybe you can put into place. The first one really is evaluate your relationship with God.
Yeah.
Because in the middle of this, and you know this, in the middle of it, like, you can really focus more on the problem than you can on God. And when you do that, you get all out of whack. You start to like rely on your own wisdom and your own understanding, and you're not gonna win in that. It's kind of a losing effort. The second thing is, know that God understands what you're going through.
Yep.
Jesus walked through a lot. He felt pain. He understands what that is. And God created us with emotions. So be emotional with God. It's okay. I think people have this tendency that I have to be solemn and like do my all my right stuff and everything when I'm praying to God. But the reality is, he wants to just talk to you and hear what you have to say. And so lay it on him. Don't be afraid to speak to him the way you feel. And then third for me is really try to figure out what that broken experience is supposed to teach you. Because nothing is wasted in God's economy. Like every single thing you go through is for a reason. And, you know, even sharing these two stories like we did today, we had the opportunity to share testimony about something that God did. And so just that alone is like this idea of nothing's wasted, right?
Can I add to that?
You definitely can.
Tell the story.
Yeah.
Like last week we talked about say what God has done. Like, make sure you keep telling the story. Don't be ashamed. Sometimes we get afraid of that.
Yeah.
Because we're like, well, I don't want people to know that I wasn't doing well or how bad I was, but tell the story.
Yeah.
And actually, if you're listening on YouTube right now, like, I know it's going to be like a little bit pushy, but the comment box is right there. Like, tell us the story of how you've seen God change your broken relationships, or ask us to pray for a relationship that you're experiencing. I know it's tough. Like, I know it's like, man, I don't want the internet to know this, but like, we're real people on this side of the screen. Mm-hmm. You're real people over there. Like, let's do this together. Let's recognize together what God's been doing in our lives, man. It's powerful.
Yeah. We need to always be refocusing on God.
Yeah.
Putting him at the center. And when we do that, like, the only thing that is potential, or the only potential really, is to have something good happen, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. And, you know, we're trying to work this stuff out in our own lives too. You know, tune in next week. We're going to really get into another topic that's awesome in this family dynamics, and that is about blended families. So we'll catch you then.
Thanks for listening to the Men of Iron podcast. If you enjoyed that episode, you can go to our website, menofiron.org. You can also like that episode. You can ring the notification bell, or you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. But again, thanks for listening to the Men of Iron podcast.